This morning, brothers and sisters, we open the Word of God in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 1, page 1631 in our Pew Bible, 1631. Our scripture passage, the verses 29 to 51, and the text is 43 through 51. So we start our reading at verse 29. This is the word of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. And here the text begins. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a simple beginning this is brothers and sisters. The calling of the disciples of the Son of God seems almost too simple, especially against the background of the first part of the chapter. This follow-up seems somewhat disappointing. Jesus was introduced as the Son of God, the God of God, the Word by whom the world was created, the Son who was in the bosom of the Father. Then the calling of his first disciples is presented in such unspectacular terms. In the calling of John and Andrew, the baptizer had to preach the same sermon 2 days in a row. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, behold, the Lamb of God, he had preached. And then they had followed him. They, in turn, had brought their brothers James and Simon to Jesus. The calling of Philip as well seems to be deprived of anything exciting. Simple? Indeed, beloved, if you consider the course of events that meets the eye. But when you consider this moment spiritually, your judgment changes. In the context of the Word of God, every step on the way is historically unique here. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and now the Word has become man. The Word was proclaimed by John the Baptizer as the Word in the flesh, who, as the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. John and Andrew, James and Simon, Philip and Nathanael, these became names of importance. Their names will be written eternally on the foundations of the New Jerusalem. For according to Revelation 21, the names of the apostles will be written there, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The foundation of the church is laid here. Simple? After that glorious introduction about God incarnate? On the contrary, the Son of God reveals himself as God when he is recognized as the promised Messiah. He reveals himself as the Christ of the Scriptures. For it is by the revelation of the Word, as the Christ of the Scriptures, that the foundation of the church is laid. It is by the proclamation of the Word as the Christ of the Scriptures that the church is built. Therefore, I proclaim to you the Word of God in our text as follows. Nathanael's call to witness the Christ of the Scriptures. This call is prepared by God the Father, revealed by God the Son, and proclaimed by the Christ of God. Nathanael's call to witness the Christ of the Scriptures. This call is prepared by God the Father, revealed by God the Son, and proclaimed by the Christ of God. So first of all, Nathanael's call prepared by God the Father. Jesus decided to go to Galilee, we read in our text. When he was at the point of doing this, he met Philip. Jesus found Philip, we read. It is striking, brothers and sisters, that John puts it that way. Remarkable it is that he repeats the verb found so often in this passage. Already in verse 41, we read that Jesus found Simon. And then once again that Philip will find Nathanael, to whom Philip exclaims, "We found him of whom Moses wrote in the law and also the prophets wrote." What does all this finding mean? The ones who seek, find, and the ones who have found, seek others that they may find. And at the center of it all is the Lord Jesus. He was pointed out as the Lamb of God, and so seems to become a magnet, attracting the one after the other. Therefore, beloved, this is not a matter of coming across someone, an incidental finding of each other. The origin of all this movement is with God. The Father, who has sent his Son into the world, is intensely involved here with his providence. He has sent John the Baptizer to point out the Lamb of God. He sets the lives of John and Andrew in motion. He is preparing a work in and for Jesus. By the proclamation of the word, the church is gathered. The preaching about the Lamb of God binds the followers together. Thus, Christ receives from the hand of his Father. No, not from the hand of the baptizer. Christ receives from the hand of the Father the first disciples of the 12 apostles. They came by the hand of the Father, who is handling the material of the foundations of the New Jerusalem. For a new world is coming. We see the kingdom of heaven in its beginnings. A new heaven and a new earth will be basking in the Son of God's good pleasure, thanks to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But then, in that new world, will be a new Jerusalem, a city with foundations, and on the foundations, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. To that city, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets looked forward. The promises of God the Father are worked out here by this providence in the life of his Son, who came into the world to fulfill them. It is against the background of this providence, beloved, that we see the Lord Jesus finding Philip. They are at the start of their first trip. At the beginning of their first course, during a walk of a few hours, Philip is recruited with a simple command: follow me. Philip sees that Jesus has found some other followers already. He recognizes Andrew and Simon as the fishermen from his hometown, Bethsaida. He knows them, and they know him. That too is part of God's providence. All circumstances are advantageous. They are at home with each other right away. They know and recognize each other's expectations. They had been longing for the Messiah, the redemption of Israel. John the Baptizer had prepared them, and so Jesus finds them. Jesus saw Philip and knew immediately, this one as well, the Father has chosen to be my disciple. Follow me is all it takes Jesus to say. And Philip responds immediately, following the rabbi. That it is not just a rabbi that he is following, Philip finds out soon enough. The rabbi Philip is following is teaching from the scriptures. On their journey, he walks with them through the landscape of Moses' law, and he views with them the scenery of the prophecies. From the law and the prophets, he shows Philip and the others, I am the true Messiah. I can identify myself with all that Moses and the prophets have written about the promised one. He is the Christ of the scriptures. My, oh my, the Messiah himself called me to follow him. Who am I that the promised Savior found me and called me? I have to share this excitement. I have to relate to this miracle that has come into my life. And then you see, beloved, that the Father was preparing the finding of yet another apostle. Also, the next call for discipleship and apostleship must be a call to witness the Christ of the Scriptures. When Philip was found by the Lord, Philip in turn found Nathanael. We read, the love for Jesus, the joy of being found by Jesus, leads to giving love to others, leads to sharing the joy of finding him with others. That is true for the foundation of the church. It is also the pattern for the building of the church today. So God causes Philip to find Nathanael. Where it is exactly, we don't know. Philip apparently knew. He has no problem finding Nathanael. That's due to God's preparation again. God provides it so and arranges it thus that Nathanael is sitting in his regular place at the usual time. God provides that familiar voice which calls to his longtime friend. Philip finds Nathanael under the fig tree, and Nathanael recognizes the voice of his friend whose words seem so strange, so incomprehensible. Nathanael is his name. It means God gives. This son of Ptolemy, by which name he is known as well, Bartholomew, is much aware of the confession expressed by his father in that name. God gives the promised one. God gives deliverance. God gives redemption to Israel. Indeed, that has become the prayer of the man's life. He was one of the faithful among Israel who was waiting for that gift of God. Was he praying for it under his victory? Was he perhaps meditating on the promises by the prophets? It could very well be, since it was rather common for scribes or other students of the law to retreat under the hanging leaves of the fig tree and so disappear completely out of the sight of passersby. But Philip knew his place. Philip found him there. Philip exclaimed, interrupting whatever Nathanael was doing, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. It is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What an exclamation, beloved. We found the one of whom we heard our life long. We found the one who fulfills the prophecies we studied all these years. Philip has become convinced of that himself by the Lord Jesus' instruction on the way. Philip also knows that this is foremost on Nathanael's mind. So no introduction, no mutual exchange of greetings. Two friends find each other. Two friends know each other. Two friends understood each other on the central matter of faith in their lives. That too, beloved, is due to God's preparation for this moment. That is how we may and must live together in the communion of saints, wrestling together in our Bible study societies, in our catechism classes, with the promises of the gospel, intense anticipation for their fulfillment. Thus we see instant alertness on Nathanael's side as well. No eye rubbing from him either. Of Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? But where in Moses and the prophets have we ever read of Nazareth? The name does not occur in the Old Testament at all. What are you talking about? Nazareth does not agree with the scriptures. And then not just something good, but the greatest good coming from Nazareth? Nathanael lived at Cana, so he knew Nazareth all right, but would the promised Messiah come from there? Nazareth and the Messiah don't belong together. So what does Philip reply? Does he argue and try to persuade Nathanael? No. All he says is, come and see. Just meet the Lord to see and hear him, and you will believe that he is the promised one. Let Jesus' words convince you as he convinced me. Come and judge for yourself. God has trained you. Only Jesus' own word should impel you to follow him. True faith can be worked by Jesus' word. Don't turn away from him by hearing the name Nazareth. Do you have questions about him as the Nazarene? Come and judge him by the word. For the word alone is the only test which should make you ready for discipleship. The word alone can lay the foundation of the church and can serve for the upbuilding of the church. And so we come to our second point, Nathanael's call revealed by God the Son. For Nathanael, beloved, this first meeting became an unforgettable revelation. He had not even greeted the rabbi, or the teacher himself had given his judgment over the newcomer already. Nathanael came to see and to judge. But before he could trigger his first question, he received his first answer. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. The Lord Jesus knows what is in the heart of man. He saw Nathanael, and what he sees is not just an Israelite by descent, but in character. A true Israelite he is, one of God's warriors who has prevailed with him by prayer. Isn't that the meaning of the beautiful name which Jacob received at Penuel? Israel, warrior of God. Isn't that the name which renewed the status of the man who had been known and persecuted for his deceit? Jacob, a man of deceit. Nathanael, indeed, you are a son of Israel, not a son of Jacob. There is no guile in you. You are blessed, for blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verse 2. No, beloved, the Lord Jesus does not say that Nathanael had never lied or so, but he sees a man coming to him who is pure in his intentions and who desires to live uprightly before the Lord and before man. Therefore, he is genuine in his desire as well to find out about the Messiah. That's first and foremost in his mind, his heart, his life. He is concerned with the truth, not with himself. But who is this man? Nathanael came to see, to judge the rabbi to whom Philip had invited him, but now he is judged himself by this rabbi. Who is this man to whom the closed heart is open and to whom the covered mind is not hidden? How do you know me? How come you seem so well acquainted with me? No, Nathanael does not mean to say, how do you know that I am so upright, that I am wrestling with God for the fulfillment of his promise? He is surprised that at this first meeting already, he gives a judgment of his inner being. That's quite shocking to note that someone discerns your heart and mind at first impression. However, then for Nathanael, it becomes stronger yet. Before Jesus even saw him, he knew already who Nathanael was. You came to see me, but I saw you first. I saw you under the fig tree. In other words, I knew you well. You're coming in and going out. You're sitting down and when you rise. And from afar, I am discerning your hearts, your hopes, your secret yearning. Then, beloved, Nathanael does not just feel exposed, recognized, but then he knows that he is being judged. Then it also shows that Nathanael lives from the scriptures. He thinks of what it says in Isaiah 11, verse 3, that the Messiah shall not judge by what his eyes see, that the King of Israel will not judge according to what his ears hear, but with divine justice he will judge, and in righteousness he will decide. The Messiah does not depend upon his eyes or ears. He knows what is in man. John 2, verse 25. He has eyes of man, but sees as God does. He who came from Nazareth, therefore, is in actuality from above. Rabbi, Nathanael exclaims, I recognize you. I believe. I confess. And the words for this confession, too, he takes from Moses and the prophets. You must be the King of Israel. You are the Son of God. For did not the psalmist, the prophet, foretell that the promised king would be the Lord of David, the Son of God? Brothers and sisters, we won't experience such a personal meeting with the Lord. But we may put it this way, that by John, by the Lord Jesus' disciples, we are brought to him, as John writes to be the purpose of his account, in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in order that we, believing, may have life in his name. John 20, verse 31. In the gospel, we may meet him ourselves. And when we then, in that way, come to him, we may know that we are known by him. We as servants of the Lord are. And we as congregation and as members individually are known by him. We are no strangers to him. He is familiar with our life. He also knows about our sins and deceitfulness. But for that he came, that he may now remove our guilt so that he may give us an upright faith and a sincere love. And with Nathanael, beloved, we may hear from the mouth of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the proclamation of the truth in his call to us, truly. Amen, amen, I say to you, I will reveal to you all the mysteries of the kingdom, all the ways of salvation. Which brings us to our third point, Nathanael's call proclaimed by the Christ of God. The miracle of Jesus' all-comprehensive knowledge had brought Nathanael to his confession. But now the Lord Jesus assures him and the other disciples that they would see greater things yet of him. The Lord Jesus has given his pupils only a glimpse of how much lies ahead for them. Nathanael believes on account of having seen a glimpse. But his faith will need more than just seeing this one minor miracle. He promises then, You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You will see that heaven is behind me, that the angels will back me up, but not just as Son of God, but especially as Son of Man. It is striking, beloved, that the Lord Jesus, in response to Nathanael's exclamation, speaks about himself as Son of Man. By this, he does not deny that he is the Son of God, but he puts Nathanael with both his feet on the ground to show him, look, Nathanael, you will come to see that the way of the Son of God is the way of the Son of Man. For the Word has become flesh to dwell among you as the Messiah, who is the mediator. By oath, the Lord Jesus promises them that his call to follow him will make them eyewitnesses of the fulfillment of all that is promised concerning the Messiah, the Son of Man. And that will happen under an open heaven. God's angels will be there to assist him in that work. For as we read in Hebrews 1 verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to be saved? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, open all the time. I will break open the way to the Father. They would see the communion between God the Father in heaven and the Christ on earth. Jacob could see in his dream how God protected him, a poor fugitive. But much greater would be their witnessing the glorious communion and protection of the Son by the Father. You will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. As Jacob did not have a place to lay down his head, so you will see the Son of Man on the earth. For the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Nevertheless, more than Jacob is here. For he will know before he falls asleep. And you who believe and who are my disciples in my exile on this earth, you will know beforehand as well that God is at your place and that the angels are going up and down between you and the Father. For the communication between heaven and earth will be restored. The messengers for the plan of salvation will be involved constantly in order that nobody or nothing can disturb the work of salvation. And beloved, the disciples have seen it in greater and lesser events. And we beheld his glory, John said, the glory as of the only Son of the Father. They passed on their testimony to us in order that we would believe. That's the purpose of our text, that we would believe that the Son of God is served by the angels of God. Isn't his Father the Lord of hosts, hosts of angels? And also now, God has placed his Son at his right hand to keep his angels in command. They serve Christ's work of salvation today. They are ministering servants to promote and protect the workers in the proclamation of Christ and in the promotion of God's kingdom. They help in the background to place the gospel in the foreground. And brothers and sisters, this way we may hear him address us, saying, amen, amen, I promise you that you will see great things. He who believes in me shall be carried by my angels in order to maintain an open contact with heaven. I will command my servants that they will protect you on your ways. I will recruit my servants from among my people too, and place one of them here as the angel of the Grace Reformed Church of Dunville. And the greatest you will see is the manifestation of the Son of Man surrounded by the cloud of the Father's angels. With eager longing, we wait for that appearance, strengthened as we will be in our hope by the faithful preaching, by Christ's promises, and then you will see something. Amen.